We're continuing this series of peace-bearing and being peace-bearers. And tonight I want to talk about how peace comes to us, and particularly I want to focus on the gate that leads to abundant life. In a study which was presented at the International Congress of Phonetic Sciences in Glasgow, linguists from the University of Montreal found that more than 99% of the time, two words are enough for a person of normal hearing to distinguish the voice of a close friend or relative among other voices. Two words. It was a French-speaking survey, so it was actually merci beaucoup. Apologies if you're French for my pronunciation there. But it was thank you. It was thank you very much. Whose voice would you recognize? They said, thank you. Thank you very much. At this point, I was tempted to do a little game and play some voices and see if you could recognize them. But when we hear the voice of a loved one, we do recognize the voice. That's what their study proved. When my father rings he's on the other end of the phone, I recognize his voice. I know it's him. It helps that we have caller display, but I do know it's him. If it's a man on that number, it's him. If it's a woman, it's my mother. But I do. I know that voice. For the last 50 years, I've heard that voice. I recognize it very quickly, and I can recognize him. Just for a second, think of who you would recognize. Parent, child, whose voice would you recognize on the end of a phone? Here's the really big question. Do you recognize the voice of God, our Heavenly Father, when he speaks? Do you recognize his voice? Seems to me that recognizing and responding to the voice of God is the most important thing that we can do. Recognizing and responding to his voice. Because recognizing and responding to his voice leads us to restoration. It leads us to abundant life. It leads us through that gate to abundant life. And if you've got a Bible, would you turn to John 10? There's some Bibles in the seats in front of you. John is in the New Testament, in sort of the back half of the Bible. John 10. Because we're going to be looking at the first 10 verses of John 10. And Jesus, the brilliant thing about Jesus is when he used illustrations, everyone got them. They got them straight away. They could understand the illustration. He uses this illustration. Very truly, I tell you, you Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They recognize his voice. So the image is of a sheepfold or a pen, and it might have been, his listeners immediately would have known what this was. Lots of them would have owned sheep, so they'd have known about a sheepfold and a pen. And actually, it might have been a sheepfold which was in a sort of a courtyard where there were a number of families who owned sheep, and together they created this flock of sheep, and then they'd employ someone as a gatekeeper, or as another translation of it is as a watchman, someone who would look after their sheep, particularly at night. But that gatekeeper, they'd know the shepherds who owned the sheep. And so if the shepherd approached, they'd know that he was the owner of some of the sheep, and they'd open the gate and let him in, and his sheep would know his voice. So the gatekeeper opens the gate. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I don't know, voice recognition is really interesting. We just talked already about that we can recognize voices. Lately, voice recognition software has been something that has developed somewhat. And Andy got me into, when I'm texting and things, trying to talk to my text. And so I've started using it for when I'm taking notes and things. Rather than tap it all in, I use the voice recognition. The problem is voice recognition isn't always reliable. This was apparently the early voice recognition. If we've got the next slide, Harvey. Here we go. This was early. Woof, did you say meow? For me, I was doing some notes for this, and the result of these notes was, sometimes when I'm out walking, I'll do these notes. I was doing some notes, and I got back to read back through my notes, and it said this: Jesus spoke to the celery to respond. I have no idea what I meant, no idea at all, but apparently he spoke to the celery. Recognizing the voice of God is really important. Recognizing his voice. Recognize the voice. The Message version of the Bible translation says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them. They follow him because they are familiar with his voice. Familiar with his voice. How familiar are you with God's voice? This takes deliberate intention. See, there are so many distractions from God's voice. Work, family, health, circumstances. They seek to distract us from God's voice. And I'm someone who is easily distracted. Anybody who works with me knows that. Sue knows that. I'm easily distracted. Any of you who've seen Up, the film Up with I think it's Doug the Talking Dog. If you haven't seen it, great film. Doug the Talking Dog. And Doug the Talking Dog, every time he sees a squirrel, he can be in the middle and say, squirrel, squirrel. I'm a bit like that. Squirrel. And a friend pointed that out to me, actually. Good friend. The only way we become familiar with God's voice is being intentional about trying to hear his voice and trying to move the distractions away. One of the ways that I do this is that I get up early in the morning. I usually get up between 5:30 and 6. And one of the first things I'll do is take the dog for a walk. And that's my time of day when I'm committing the day to God, when I'm trying not to be distracted. And there's less distractions around. There's hardly any people around. But I still find I get distracted. I get distracted by, at the moment, it's the owl when that's flying around. Or I get distracted by starting to think about what I've got to do that day. And I stop listening. I stop listening. I increasingly am challenging myself to listen. To try and avoid the distractions. Any of you who read Draw the Circle, and I'd really encourage you to do so, the book we read over Lent, he was really strong on journaling and on making a particular time where you almost make an appointment with God. Because, you know, if I'm going to meet with someone, I make an appointment. Yeah, and I show up for that appointment. And he said, make an appointment with God. Make it, you know, same time every day. Make that appointment and look to keep that appointment. His was at 7:14 every morning. He'd get down on his knees. And that was his appointment with God. And he also encouraged journaling because actually that slows you down. It helps you to concentrate and to think, well, what is God saying? Many of you know, at the end of this month, I'm going on a sabbatical for 3 months, which is a huge privilege. But part of that, the purpose of that is stopping and listening. Stopping and listening and seeking God. Seeking his voice. Because if I'm not listening to God, if I'm not recognizing his voice, if I'm not seeking him and asking him to show me the way that I should be leading us, then I'm leading out of my wisdom, my strength. But if I'm not seeking God as the leader of this church and seeking to follow him and lead from what he is saying, then I'm just leading out of my strength and my wisdom. And my strength and my wisdom is not enough. My strength and my wisdom is going to take us in the wrong direction. I need to stop and to listen. And that's part of sabbatical. I'll be praying, I'll be reading my Bible, I'll be seeking God personally and for us corporately, seeking his voice. And God speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us as we pray. He speaks to us as we listen to preachers. I hope he occasionally speaks through me to you, but he speaks to us as we listen. And the challenge I would really give you on this one is a challenge I was given once. Because when I was sort of 19, 20, fairly new Christian, I went along to a church and there was one speaker there who I just could get nothing from at all. If I'm honest, I just found them really, really boring. And I just would just be so. And God challenged me at one stage and said, you know, he was speaking through that speaker, but I needed to listen. And so from then on, I'd say, well, what is the one thing, God, you want to say to me today? What is the one thing you want to say to me through this talk? And I try to do that now when I'm listening to a speaker, particularly if I'm listening to a speaker who I find it difficult to listen to. Say, Lord, what is the one thing you want to speak to me about today? And God speaks in other ways. He speaks through people. He speaks through conversations. He brings us up short and we think about something and we think that's God speaking and prompting me. He speaks through the encouraging word of a loved one. You know, Steve was talking about that thing that he was given that was written down. He speaks in different ways. He speaks through the beauty of creation. And part of the reason we gather as a church, part of the reason we gather in connect groups is actually we also need to check what he's saying with each other. Because sometimes I've heard people say stuff, they've said this is from God and it's not. It's just bonkers. It's from them. It's their agenda. And it's nothing to do with God. And sometimes we as church need to challenge and say, are you sure? Sure that's from God? I think you need to test that a bit more. But God does speak. God does speak. And I believe he speaks to all of us. And I think he speaks regularly. And I think he speaks more regularly than we think he does. And I think the problem is we're not listening. We're not listening. Once we listen, or the passage goes on in verse 5, says, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech. The Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Because as well as the sort of the distractions that come in, that are, if you like, the natural distractions, there are also the voices that come in that seek to steal and to rob. And those voices are really powerful. Those voices, for some of us, those voices can be things that have been spoken over us when we were at school that we're still holding on to now. Oh, you're useless. You'll never do anything. You'll never achieve anything. You can't do this. You can't do that. And those voices, and actually Sue heard this morning, bless her, she loves me a lot, she comes and hears me twice every Sunday. She knew I was going to say this, but as she was praying and worshipping, she felt that for some of us here, you know those voices already, you can hear those voices. And it's more than just voices, you can see the shadow of the person who spoke those voices over you. And that shadow is still over you. And I believe tonight God wants to break the shadow. He wants you to listen to his voice and break the power of the thieves and robbers who seek to take life away. Because sadly, there are voices that are from our past that have a power over us. And guys, you know, if you are still at school, sometimes people say stuff at school to you that's horrible. I think the most horrible things that were ever said to me were said to me at school. Said to be by other young people. And they still do that. And, you know, don't let those things they say give you any sense of identity, because those are thieves and robbers who are seeking to steal your identity away. And sadly, people do, and they do for all sorts of reasons. There's now, you know, some of you, many of you know, if I talk about a hater, you'll know what a hater is. Haters have made it into the urban dictionary of what haters are. And it says, haters is a person that simply cannot be happy for another person's success. So rather than be happy, they make a point of exposing a flaw in that person. Hating, the result of being a hater, is not exactly jealousy. The hater doesn't really want to be the person he or she hates. Rather, the hater wants to knock someone else down a notch. And sadly, our society is full of haters. And they don't know why they hate. You know, I'd suggest it's because they've never experienced the love of God themselves. And so there's an inadequacy there. But they're haters. They want to knock you down. And those are the voices. Those are the thieves and the robbers who want to steal away your identity as a child of God. And part of tonight is about realizing that that's what they are and that you've got to stop listening to those voices. Because the voice you need to listen to is the Jesus voice. My sheep know my voice. You need to listen to his voice. Recognize his voice. But don't just recognize his voice. You've got to respond to his voice. Because it's no good just recognizing a voice. Jesus didn't get up on the side of a mountain and teach to the crowds and teach them all about the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when. Blessed are you when you do this. He didn't teach them to love their neighbors as themselves. He didn't teach them to love God with all their heart, their soul, and their mind and their strength. He didn't say those things because they were nice words and he wanted them to recognize his voice. He said those things because he wanted them to respond. He wanted them to do those things. He wanted them to love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength. He wanted them to love their neighbor as themselves. It's not enough to recognize the voice of the shepherd. We've then actually got to follow the shepherd. We've got to respond to his voice. We've got to go the way that he's calling us. That involves personal change. It involves practical response. And sometimes people will say to me after I've spoken, nice sermon, vicar. Actually, it's not normally nice sermon, vicar. People don't generally hear call me vicar. They call me Simon. But they might say, oh, thank you. So, and when people say it, you never quite know what to say. You know, you normally say, oh, thank you. But I've got a friend who's challenged me on this one. And he says when someone says that to it, say, I'm glad. I'm glad you found it helpful. What did you find helpful about it? He asked that question first. And they might tell him, and then he says, and how are you going to respond? And how are you going to respond? Because preachers are preaching, not just because they like speaking, but because there's a response. And actually, if I say that to you, how are you going to respond? And you say, I have no idea how to respond, then I've failed as a preacher. You know, J. John talks about, yes, but how? How do you respond? So there should be an opportunity to respond. And all the time, God is prompting us. All the time, God is speaking to us. He's prompting us to pray for people, to encourage people. If you don't think God ever speaks to you, right now, I want you to think of one person who needs encouragement in your life. One person. One person you know from work, from school, from your family who needs encouragement. Hey, God has just spoken to you. As you've thought of that person, God has spoken to you. That's what God speaking to us is. And tomorrow or even this evening, I just send them a text. Just tell them that you think they're great. Just encourage them. God speaks to us all the time. All the time, he's prompting us to pray for people, to encourage people. The problem is, I often ignore those promptings. I don't mean to. I'll think of someone, think, oh, I really should give them a call. But there are other things, you know, the distractions, the other things will come on, and I don't do it. I don't give them that call. And I know it's been God when, and this sadly happens all too regularly, but when, you know, a week later or 10 days later, something blows up. You know, I get an email and I think, oh, if only I'd rung them. Or if only 10 days ago, when I thought of them, I'd got in touch. If only I'd done it when God prompted me, then this wouldn't have happened. Yeah, God prompts us for a reason. Last week, Catherine spoke brilliantly about becoming uncomfortable. And that's probably when I ignore God's voice the most, when it's about uncomfortable, you know, when it's about putting myself in more difficult situations. But actually, I think the reality is God calls us to be uncomfortable. He doesn't call us to be comfortable Christians. He calls us to put ourselves in places where we're stretched, where we're doing things that we haven't done before, where we're maybe taking a stand in certain ways. And certainly, Ali's mentioned the turning. The turning, it's not comfortable. It's wonderful, but it's not comfortable. And so on Friday night, 100 of us gathered in Welcome Church from across the churches. There's, I think, 4 or 5 churches represented. And we had the most wonderful time of worship because everyone was there so passionate and knowing that we were praying and praying for the town and wanting God to move dramatically. And then yesterday morning, 40 of us, I think, turned up. 30 went out on the streets. 10 stayed and prayed. You didn't have to go on the streets. You could pray for those going out. 30 of us went out in pairs onto the streets to talk to people with this, what is called the script. And it was very simple. It was just going up to people and say, hello, my name's Simon, and I just want to tell you that God loves you and has got a wonderful plan for your life. And that was it. That was the start of the conversation. Immediately, some people didn't want to know any more, and others were interested. And I had some great conversations, 3 or 4 great conversations with people around the town. Prayed blessing on a couple of people. I didn't actually pray a prayer of commitment, but I did pray blessing on a couple of people. And then the last girl we met, she was up near St. Mary's on the Green. I was with Judy, and Judy went to speak to her, and she had a little, I think, a 3-year-old with her, and Judy said the line, and she said, oh, that's lovely, yes, lovely. And then the follow-up line is, do you know you're going to heaven, basically? Can you be sure you're going there? And she goes, well, I think so, I hope so. I went to church as a child. And she said, in fact, I'd really like to find a church to take my little boy along to a family service or something like that. Do you know if there are any churches in Whitney that do that? And because we were the churches together, we weren't saying which church we were from. We were just saying we were Christians from Whitney. So I was being very good, and I wasn't saying anything. And I said, well, yeah, there are a number of churches like that. Where do you live? And I thought, well, wherever she lives, I'll tell her the nearest church to where she lives. So where do you live? She said, oh, well, we've just moved into Blake's Avenue in Cogs. I said, well, funny you should say that. There is a church in Cogs. And we had a lovely conversation with her. She gave us her name and address. And, you know, that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't made ourselves uncomfortable, if we hadn't gone out on Saturday morning. Yeah, I could have cut the lawn. I could have had a lie-in. But we went out on Saturday morning. And we taught. And we're going to, as churches, we've made a commitment. We want to do this once a month. And I'd encourage you to come along. I'd encourage you to try it. Like I say, it's not comfortable, but it's wonderful. And you have these great conversations that then fill you with faith. And the night before we'd prayed, we'd had 13 words of knowledge about people, we'd meet people wearing certain things, or 7 of them were fulfilled on yesterday morning. It was really encouraging. The next one, I'm going to be on sabbatical, but I'm going to be excited for you, is happening on Friday. It's Friday 2nd, Saturday 3rd of June. And the really exciting thing about that is it's the end of the 10 days of prayer, the Thy Kingdom Come prayer days, where we're praying for the nation, that people would discover the love of Jesus. Tell you, you want to go out that Saturday morning. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. There'll be more information about that. So when we recognize the voice, when we respond to the voice, my last point is this, that we're restored by the voice. Jesus' voice restores us. That's what leading us out is all about. Jesus is into restoring broken images. Where lies have come into our lives, he's into breaking the power of those lies. Where we believe things about ourselves that are not true, he's into us believing the truth about ourselves. He wants to restore our image. Where people's relationships have broken down, he wants to restore those relationships. Where nations fight with nations, he wants peace. Jesus is all about restoration, restoring. Where creation is being damaged, he wants us to be part of that restoration as well. And so he says in verse 9, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. That wonderful find pasture, that comes from Psalm 23. He'd have been thinking of that. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It's the invitation that the good shepherd invites, that Psalm 23 invites us into the pastures. And he leads us into an abundant life, a life to the full, an abundant life, a life to the max. What does an abundant life look like? Well, it's one that's flourishing. And we flourish when we recognize God's voice, when we respond to his voice, when we follow him, when we discover this restoration, when he restores our world, when he protects the created order for future generations. 1 Peter 2, verse 25 says, "For you were going astray like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." That's what it's about. Jesus, when we recognize his voice, when we respond, when we follow him, when we're familiar, he is the guardian of our souls. The guardian of our souls. You know, it's our souls get damaged by the lies, the thieves who seek to steal and destroy. Jesus is the guardian of our souls. He wants to restore us. He wants us to have the right view of ourselves. The Archbishops of Canterbury and York have written a letter with the general election coming. I'm not going to read all of it. It's 3 pages long. But at the end, they say this: "We keep in our prayers all those who are standing in this election and are deeply grateful for their commitment to public service. All of us as Christians, in holding fast to the vision of abundant life, should be open to the call to renounce cynicism, to engage prayerfully with the candidates and issues in this election, and by doing so, to participate together fully in the life of our communities." And I was just thinking about this. And I was thinking, well, maybe when someone knocks on our door, we should ask them, "What are you doing about restoration? What are you doing about restoring lives, restoring relationships, restoring our world?" And if they give you a good answer, maybe they're the ones you should vote for. And if they don't, maybe not. God wants us, we want to connect with God, with each other and our world, to enable everyone to flourish. Jesus never promised us an easy life if we followed him. He never promised it would be easy. But he did promise an abundant life. In the search for comfort, people have stopped listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, stopped following him, and stopped discovering the restoration that comes when we do follow his voice.